2. Things began to change the following day. Johnny had spent the night in ops and was sprawled over a table when Lord Dom came in to wake him.
"In 2 hours," said Lord Dom, "the trial findings will be read and voted upon."
"I'm not a member of the government," said Johnny.
"We know that," said Lord Dom, "but you are personally concerned and should be present. Reparations will also be announced, so be there."
Ah, reparations. A sudden surge of hope. Would they be enough to cover this debt to the Galactic Bank, or at least enough to make arrangements or first payments or something? Tinny had had as good a night's sleep as one could get in a chair. There was very little traffic. And so Johnny asked Chong Wan to stand in for him and went to get dressed. Mr. Tsung was wearing a little round black satin pillbox cap with a blue button on the top of it, and had not ceased grinning since he had recovered his rank. He bowed and got a bath wheeled in on a mine cart, and generally worked to get Johnny dressed and fed. Then Mr. Tsung picked up a little thin box on a silk neck cord and put it on and whispered at it, and Johnny was startled to hear English coming out of it in a flat, electronic monotone. In response to Johnny's raised eyebrows, using the box, Mr. Tsung explained it was a gift from the small gray man, Dries Glotten, before he had left on a trip. A gift for starting a bank account. It seemed that Mr. Tsung's daughter was painting tigers and birds on big sheets of handmade rice paper and selling them to the emissaries for 50 credits apiece. The Lord said they were primitives and collector's items. And his son-in-law had been making pictures of dragons on round metal plates with a molecular sprayer and selling those to the Lords for 100 credits each, and like a good father, even though he despised merchants and the merchant class, he was taking care of their money for them. Mr. Tsung explained that His Excellency had found the language Court Mandarin Chinese in his library on the ship and had done the necessary microcopy of it, and, you see this little switch here? That's Mandarin to English in the up position, Mandarin to Cyclo in the middle position, and English to Cyclo in the down position. And didn't it sound funny when it turned English into Chinese tones? But that was not all. It was a voco reader. See this little light on the end? You passed that over Mandarin characters and it read them aloud in English or Cyclo. And it also read Cyclo and English in Mandarin. So now he couldn't be fooled or led into mistakes by wrongly worded speeches. It ran on body heat, so it didn't need any batteries, and now he could talk straight to Johnny. Of course, he'd still learn the languages himself, for he didn't want to sound so monotone. But wasn't Dries Glotten a nice man? He was glad Mr. Tsung could now talk to him without a coordinator, but all the same it made Johnny feel surrounded by the Galactic Bank. Mr. Tsung put it to work right away.
"I am told you are going in to hear the sentence, and that it somehow includes you. Now, since you don't know whether you are going to be found guilty or not, you just sit respectfully and listen. And if they ask you anything, you just bow. You don't answer. Just bow. That is how you open the way to demand a new trial."
It was good advice, but it did not do much to calm Johnny's nerves. Chief Chong Wan said the radio was quiet. No news of Stormalong, nor Edinburgh, nor Russia. The Lords were all assembled. They had rearranged the room. They had a high desk on the platform, and Lord Faljapan was sitting at it. The Lords themselves were in orderly rows facing it. Down the side of the room was a line of chairs. Slime was lying on a mine cart, totally wrapped up in hoist chains, with only his face showing above the links. They had him between the desk and the audience. Lord Dom indicated that Johnny should sit on one of the side chairs where Lord Voraz was sitting. It was obvious to Johnny that they didn't consider him part of their deliberations. The Lords didn't even look at him. But at least he wasn't there alongside that minecart with Slime.
"They have already discussed all this," whispered Lord Voraz to Johnny, "but they have to review and vote on each finding. It's really more of a treaty than a trial. I'm surprised the Earth emissary isn't here. But they can proceed without him right up to the signing."
Lord Thaljapan signaled Lord Brow to call the session to order, which he did.
"We have already agreed upon and committed to treaty form," said Thaljapan, "the redefinition of the word pirate. I wish to call to your attention, however, that the redefinition can have no bearing on the present findings, for it was passed upon after the incident under trial. Is that correct, my lords?"
They signified that it was.
"Therefore," said Thaljapan, "we are basing this trial on existing findings and clauses. Testimony of Captain Rogo-Dieter Snow has been heard and duly entered in the record to the effect that he was ordered to disregard the sanctity of the conference area by the Tolnep then-emissary Schleim. I believe it is the desire of this conference to accept the testimony and evidences of the said Snow, particularly in the light of the fact that he considered he was bound to protect the Tolnep emissary. This absolves Snow. Do you so vote?"
The lords so voted.
"Therefore," said Thaljapan, "it is considered established by this conference that the said Tolnep emissary, by name Lord Schleim, did willfully and maliciously order the military forces of Tolnep to attack the conference area. Do you so find?"
They voted unanimously that they so found, and Schleim in his chains hissed and spat.
"It was further witnessed and established," continued Thaljapan, "that the said Tolnep emissary did seek to paralyze, shoot, and otherwise injure other emissaries engaged in their lawful and time-honored duties, contrary to specific clauses numbered here but too numerous to read. Is that your finding?"
They definitely so found, and Schleim hissed and spat some more.
"Therefore," said Thaljapan, "it is adjudicated by this conference, lawfully assembled, by the power of treaty hereby made among planets, that Tolnep shall hereinafter, for a space of 100 years, be regarded as an outlaw nation. Do you so vote?"
They so voted, and with deep scowls of determination.
"All treaties with the planet and nation of Tolnep are cancelled herewith," said Thaljapan. "Do you so vote?"
They so voted.
"All embassies and legations and consulates of the Tolnep planet and nation shall be closed and their diplomats expelled, and for the space of the next 100 years, diplomatic functions in minor matters shall be undertaken by the Hovens embassies, legations, and consulates at usual charges. Do you concur?"
They concurred.
"Since the personal safety of the said Schleim was promised by this conference, and since it guaranteed to return the said Schleim unharmed to his planet, it is the decision of this conference that the said Schleim be deposited naked and in chains in the public slave market of the city of Crete, Tolnep, as an expression of disfavor of this conference. Is this your wish?"
It was their wish. Schleim hissed and spat. Johnny wondered when they were going to get around to reparations. It was a thin hope, but it was a hope. Thaljapan was continuing.
"Since Tolnep had the majority of war vessels, and since its officer was, according to the testimony of Schleim himself earlier in this conference, the senior and commanding officer of the combined force, it is the finding of this conference that the non-Tolnep nations, which complemented the combined force, are nationally absolved of the offense, but that, as the presence of their forces poses a continued threat in the skies above this conference, this absolution is dependent on the following conditions. A. That they ensure that the Tolnep fleet deposits any and all prisoners taken, unharmed, undamaged, at a spot to be designated by the Earth military commander. B. That they themselves deposit any prisoners they may have taken, unharmed, undamaged, at the same or similar place. C. That they then escort, with the use of any military persuasion necessary, the Tolnep fleet back to Tolnep. D. That they direct the Tolnep fleet to land on the surface of Tolnep, it being known to the conference that the Tolnep fleet cannot thereafter take off again. And E. That they then return to their respective homelands. The forces mandated by this clause are those of the Bolbods, Hovens, Hockners, Jambet Chows, and Drawkins, and any and all forces retained by them, and any and all forces of any other planet or nation from outside this system. Is it so decreed?"
There was some discussion as to whether the emissaries representing those forces should vote or abstain.
I suppose, whispered Boraz, you can designate a deposit place for the prisoners in the absence of other authority.
Yes, Johnny whispered back, but they don't say what we do with any prisoners we may have of theirs.
This isn't a peace treaty, whispered Lord Boraz. This relates to offenses against this conference. I put in a word about Earth prisoners. They are planetary assets, you see. Prisoners you have from the fleet up there would only be mentioned if this were a peace treaty. And I doubt they'd take them back due to possible contamination. You might want to get even through biological warfare. You're covered since they included unharmed and undamaged in the clause.
Assets, thought Johnny. You're just concerned about the value of the property you're trying to repossess. But he didn't say it. He was glad they'd get any Earth prisoners back. They had finally decided the emissaries of other combatants had better vote, for it would look better on the record. The conference was then unanimous.
By conference law, Valjapan then said, mention must be made of personal violence used against a then-emissary, Lord Slime.
Lord Boraz touched Johnny's knee.
This is you.
One designated as Johnny Goodboy Tyler was seen to throw a cane or scepter at the said Lord Slime, striking him. It is the wish of this conference to exonerate the said Tyler. Do you so vote?
They voted to do so, and Slime really spat.
Now comes the nice part, whispered Lord Boraz.
In accordance, said Valjapan, with Clause 103, which covers services in protecting and saving the lives of conference members, for predetermining the intentions of the said Slime, and for disarming him so that his attack was to no avail, one designated as Johnny Goodboy Tyler is hereby vested with the Order of the Crimson Sash. Is this the wish of the conference?
There was a spatter of applause, a buzz of comment. Lord Boraz whispered, the Empress Beaz of the Chatavarians created that order 83,268 years ago when an attendant saved the life of her lover at a conference. Someone tried to assassinate him, and the attendant prevented it, but got a superficial knife slash in the process. Hence, Crimson Sash. He whisked from his pocket a little book which expanded, and he looked up something. It entitles you to be addressed as Lord, and it carries with it a pension of 2,000 credits a year. We manage the trust fund for it. I must make a note.
They were still applauding a bit, and Lord Browl indicated Johnny should stand up and bow. Johnny thought sourly he'd put the sash on Windsplitter. He didn't want their honors. He sat down. They sure were taking a long time to get around to reparations.
Ah, here they were.
Valjapan was unreeling a long roll of paper with figures on it.
It has also been found that the dignities of the emissaries and their planets have been offended by the unseemly attack or attempted attack upon them by the said Slime. A fine and reparation in the sum of 1 trillion galactic credits is hereby levied upon the planet Tolnep by the conference.
Valjapan rattled through the papers.
The emissaries who had ships in the skies at the time of this incident are not to be included as recipients in this indemnity because of a witting or unwitting taint of conspiracy. The sum, as already discussed in previous deliberations, shall be allocated to emissaries in accordance with populations they represent.
He rattled off a lot of figures.
Does the conference so agree?
They corrected a couple of calculations.
Earth, Johnny whispered to Lord Boraz, is getting almost nothing. Some of these emissaries have populations of hundreds of billions,
Lord Boraz whispered back. The Chatavarians have almost 39 trillion beings on their 700 planets. What have you got here? 33,000?
The emissaries accepted the amended figures. Johnny held his breath. Were damages to Earth going to enter in here?
Any and all financial arrangements to be made in accordance with the practices of the Galactic Bank, said Valjapan.
He didn't ask for any agreement on that. Lord Boraz simply nodded.
This concludes our findings, said Valjapan. Is it the wish of this conference that these be scrolled in finished form, as voted, so that they can be signed and attested?
Johnny whispered urgently to Lord Voraz.
Wait. They claimed they burned a lot of cities. There are all sorts of war damages.
I tried to get it in. It would have increased the value of the property, Lord Voraz whispered back. But this isn't a peace conference, you know. It's a trial and treaty about offenses to the conference itself.
No reparations for Earth? Johnny felt like jumping up and protesting.